seriously popular.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
In January 2023, Constance Martin and her boyfriend Mark Gordon disappeared and went on the run with their newborn baby, Victoria.
A nationwide search resulted in the sad discovery of Victoria's body, and the pair have now been charged with killing her, which they both deny.
I'm Jack Hardy, a news reporter for the Daily Mail. I'll be in court every day, reporting the events as they happen.
And I'm broadcaster and journalist Caroline Cheetham. Together, we'll take you behind the headlines, bringing you the evidence, witness statements and testimony from the Old Bailey in London.
This is The Trial, Constance Martin and Mark Gordon.
So we should start today with another explanation about why we've not been able to bring you an episode for a few days. You'll be used to this by now, but we basically had a few more delays in court. Last week, the court took a break for Easter, and while we were expecting to be back with a new episode as usual on Tuesday, we were then told a member of the jury was sick, so they didn't sit again. And we're only now going to be bringing you a slightly shorter episode today because the jury have been in court this week for just a few hours before being sent home until Monday, and that's for legal reasons.
So today we'll bring you more on the tense exchange between Constance Martin's key defence witness and the prosecutor. We know the two clashed when we last sat a few weeks ago, and it's been more of the same today.
We'll also explain that Constance Martin's family admitted they did use investigators to try to track her down.
Welcome to episode 18. The Private Detectives.
So Jack, once again, we've had more delays in court, and we should maybe just say that when this trial started back on January the 25th, it was listed, which basically means how long it's expected to last for 6 weeks. We're now 11 weeks in. Now, it's pretty rare for trials to run exactly to time. You and I both know that from many, many years of experience, because by their very nature, they're completely unpredictable. But this trial has overrun, I think it's fair to say, by quite a long time now.
Yes, Caroline, it's now run over by 35 days, which, as you say, is not in itself unusual. The court process is not easy to predict, but it might explain a little bit why the timing of our episodes can be a little erratic. We'll be able to shine a bit more of a light on some of the delays we've encountered at the end of the trial when the jury reached their verdicts. But in today's episode, we'll bring you more on the testy exchanges between Professor Peter Fleming and Tom Little, KC.
Yeah, now, Professor Fleming is one of the key experts in child death in the UK. And you might remember his exchange last week with Tom Little was pretty tense, I think, to say the least, as he essentially said he had no reason to doubt what Constance Martin had told him about how Victoria had died. And Jack, it's fair to say that their exchange has continued in this way this week.
Yes, Caroline. So Tom Little, KC's questioning of Professor Fleming continued on the slightly technical topic that we discussed in the last episode, which is this idea of a blood vessel, when it's found to be open, is known as patent ductus arteriosus. Professor Fleming, you may remember, said the process of this blood vessel closing would happen between 24 hours to 3 days from birth in 99% of babies. Mr. Little started by asking how many times Professor Fleming himself had carried out the test as part of a post-mortem examination. Professor Fleming said he had attended examinations conducted by an expert paediatric pathologist on approximately 200 occasions, but that wasn't quite what Tom Little had been getting at. Their exchange is voiced by actors.
That wasn't the question, was it?
And you know that wasn't the question, Professor Fleming.
It was an inappropriate question to ask a paediatrician. It's not part of my clinical expertise to conduct a post-mortem examination.
Because you've conducted none, no post-mortem examinations.
I've attended and watched very closely.
You have difficulty answering a straightforward question, which is how many post-mortem examinations have you conducted?
The same number you have.
Right. And do you think that form of sarcasm is appropriate for an expert witness?
You're asking me a question that's outside of my professional expertise. I haven't carried out any post-mortem examinations, but I have attended on many, many occasions.
So Mr. Little asked Professor Fleming whether it was the case that preterm babies were at a greater risk of this blood vessel remaining open longer than expected. And he did agree this was the case. And he said it had been an important part of his work for many years. The prosecutor, though, then returned to an answer given by Professor Fleming when he last appeared in court a few days ago, which was that he was certain Victoria had been born at term.
So Professor Fleming said by term he meant at least 37 weeks, but he couldn't give a definitive opinion on whether the baby was born between 37 weeks or 41 weeks. He said on the information he'd been supplied with, there was nothing to suggest the signs of a baby born before term. Mr. Little asked if the source of this information was what he had been told by Constance Martin and what she had told police. And he agreed.
So Mr. Little explained the reason he was asking these questions was because there were a number of significant caveats and difficulties, he said, in assessing the baby's age by solely using the position of this blood vessel. Jack, he then turned to the topic of hypothermia. And you'll, of course, remember that Professor Fleming said hypothermia was unlikely to have been the cause of Victoria's death. Mr. Little then asked whether this conclusion was almost exclusively based on what Constance Martin had told him. And he said it was.
So Tom Little then wanted to make the distinction between the dwellings often used by people in Mongolia, which are known as gears, and whom Professor Fleming had done a study on to see how they kept their babies warm in freezing conditions, to the tent Constance Martin and Mark Gordon had been using, which had been referred to as a festival-style tent.
Now, let's look at these Mongolian gears. Do you agree that they are worlds apart, miles apart, from a thin, flimsy tent that these two defendants were in?
Yes, and I've never made any suggestion they were not.
The gears have a round structure with a peaked roof.
Can I just stop you? I was talking about the environmental temperature around the baby and not the structure of the tent.
I need to ask these questions. These are far larger structures than the tent in this case. They're designed to live in bitterly cold temperatures. They're large enough to accommodate whole families and contain furniture, fire, and stoves?
Yes, I've never suggested they're comparable.
They're large enough to walk around in. The walls are insulated. They have layers and felt as insulation. And just so the jury understand, none of the people that were involved in this research were in the same position as these two defendants. In other words, on the run away from authorities, scarcely sleeping and so on?
Yes.
When considering any issue in relation to living in a tent with a newborn baby, do you agree it is not a particularly helpful comparison to compare the tent in this case with the gear?
I was not comparing the tent to the gear. I was comparing the environmental temperature around mother and baby.
We'll take a break there.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So Tom Little then drew the jury's attention to research in a study about the actual temperature inside the Mongolian tents. Now, he said the median nighttime temperature was around 15 degrees centigrade. This, he said, was appreciably warmer than the conditions in which the defendants camped with their baby on the South Downs. But Professor Fleming said there were quite a few nights within his study when the temperature dropped below zero.
Well, you gave the impression, I would suggest, last time you gave evidence, that it was freezing and bitterly cold at night once the fire had gone off. But yet, these babies were fine. I'm suggesting that actually the interquartile range is appreciably higher in these Mongolian gears than it would have been on the South Downs on any of the relevant days in this case. Would you agree?
Yes, very much so.
Mr. Little then attempted to put some of what he said were the symptoms of hypothermia to Professor Fleming, such as blue lips and pale skin. But Professor Fleming said it was not a simple yes or no answer and accused Mr. Little of trying to mislead the jury.
If the jury concluded that a baby was carried around in a bag for life in cold conditions with scarcely any clothing, would you say that was appropriate or not?
I've seen no evidence to suggest that was the case.
That wasn't the question. What if the jury concluded that that happened? Would you say that was a safe thing to do?
No.
And why not?
It's not safe. Of course it's not.
Now, before Professor Fleming finished his evidence, he was asked a few final questions by Francis Fitzgibbon KC, who represents Constance Martin. Their exchange has been voiced by actors.
It's been suggested to you when you were being cross-examined on the last occasion that you appeared to be partial in your view as to whether Constance Martin had told you the truth in the account she has given in this case. In other words, it's been suggested you've taken her side. Is that right?
No. My role as a paediatrician is to talk to people, to listen to what they have to say. My role is to try to understand what has happened. It is not to accept unquestioningly that what people have told me is the truth. It's not my role to try and cross-examine somebody. I'm there as a caring professional to try to understand what has happened. In my experience, bullying and shouting at people and being sceptical about what they have said is the worst possible way to get people to tell you the truth.
Now, before we finish for today, we did learn a few more interesting things in what's called agreed facts. Now, Joel Smith, KC, is the other prosecutor in this case, and he shared a few of these agreed facts to the jury. Now, the most significant of these, really, was in relation to Constance Martin's allegations as part of the evidence that she's given to the court so far, that she believed her family had used private investigators to try to find her at various points.
Yeah, so you'll remember that she believed her family had been keeping her and Mark Gordon under almost permanent surveillance using several private detective companies. She told the jury her family were oppressive and bigoted and they wanted to erase the couple's children from the family line. She also said that she had made an allegation against a family member and, as a result of that allegation, they had set about trying to get her children removed through the family courts.
Yeah, so the surveillance by these private detectives was so extensive, she said, that she and Mark Gordon had resorted to using several dozen burner phones to stop their communications from being intercepted. And you'll remember that she said that she believed their cars kept breaking down because they were sabotaged by these private detective organisations to limit their movements. And in fact, at one point, she went so far as to claim her car had been detonated by someone when it burst into flames near Bolton on the day the couple first went on the run in January 2023.
So back to this week, as part of one of these agreed facts that was given to the jury, Joel Smith said that Constance Martin's parents had provided statements to the police concerning the use of private investigators. Her mother told police she engaged a private investigator to find out where her daughter was in October 2016 because she was worried about her. That investigator was employed for a period of 2 weeks.
So Mr. Smith also said that Constance Martin's father had employed a private investigator in 2017 and in 2021 to try to find her, but both her parents denied that any private investigator was instructed to find her in 2022 or in 2023, which of course was the period of time they went missing and the period of time that relates to this trial.
So that's it for today. You are now up to date. Next week, we're hoping to bring you the closing speeches of all the barristers in this case. After that, the judge will sum up the case and the jury will retire to consider their verdict.
Constance Martin and Mark Gordon deny manslaughter by gross negligence. They also deny perverting the course of justice, concealing the birth of a child cruelty, and causing or allowing the death of a child.
You can follow us on X at The Trial Podcast and contact us on thetrial@mailmetromedia.co.uk.
You can leave us a comment on Spotify or even send us a voice note on WhatsApp on 07796 657 512. Start your message with the word trial.
See you then.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.